Genesis 45, we're going to conclude this morning. This whole month we've been talking about the sanctity of life. And I know that you're on board with me with this. Obviously, we've been studying and praying over that God would do something special, not only here in our church, but in our hearts, and especially in our nation, talking about we believe in what's called the sanctity of life, that God would turn hearts back to Him. Now, Genesis 45, I want to start this morning here. I've really titled this message, To Choose Life. Choose Life. Now, you know your Bibles, maybe some of you just got through this in your Bible reading. You know that we're coming now to the part where Joseph reveals himself to his brothers. Very dramatic scene is playing out right here in chapter 45. Notice verse 1, let's just start there, might as well. Notice what it says, Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all of them that stood by him. This is wonderful, isn't it? And he cried, Cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud. Can you imagine? All those years apart from his family, how they mistreated him. He wept aloud. You ever think about somebody and somebody's already passed on? Mother, father, grandfather, something. Can you wait for the day you get to see him again? Amen. He says he wept aloud. The Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard it. Or they heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live? That's his first question. And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence, and they should be. And Joseph said unto his brethren, notice this, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither. For why? God did send me before you to preserve life. Underline those two words in your Bible. Preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall be neither earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you, notice this, that sent me hither, but God. That is some character, isn't it? Underline that. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh and Lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. We'll pause there as we read. Now you think about this, I want to emphasize again to choose life. Joseph had enough character within him, which I don't have, very few people have this, enough spirituality, spiritual character within him to say, I am not going to let the circumstances around me dictate my attitude and dictate my outlook on life. Isn't that wonderful? Now, if it was you in this situation, let's just use me as an example this morning. If it was me, I would have said, it is me, Tim, your brother, which you sold into Egypt. And as they started to quake and, oh my goodness sakes, what did we do? I would have gone down and put my foot on their neck. How many would have done that? I would have said, you dirty, rotten scoundrels. I've been waiting for the day that I can get my hands around your neck. You ever lay in bed at night and go, I should have said that. Yeah. And it was something back in high school or something, 45 years ago. Yeah, I should have said that if I only had the time now. Joseph didn't say that. Joseph had enough spiritual character about him to say, listen, it wasn't you that sent me here. It was not you that sent me hither, but God sent me here. And I want you to know something. God sent me here to preserve life. These bozos, his brothers, couldn't have done anything, really. They couldn't find their way out of a wet paper sack on a rainy day. I mean, these guys were fools. As you read the story later, as we continue throughout the Bible, you read, and your Bible reading, you find out what kind of people these men were, the character with which they operated. These were not good guys, were they? They were not spiritual people. And Joseph said, I understand your character, I understand who you are, but I want you to know something, that I believe in God, and I also believe that God sent me here to preserve life. Not my life, your life. Do you ever pray for your enemies, that God would preserve their lives long enough for them to get saved? Do you ever pray for your enemies and the people that have really just kind of spit in your face, if you will? They've really taken advantage of you. They've really hurt you. For some people, that person has already died that took advantage of you and hurt you and abused you. And it's time maybe for you to just let him go. Now, that's easy to say. Oh, just let it go, brother. That's not possible, is it? No, we live with that every day. It's time to say, you know what, I realize in my Christian maturity and in my growth in God, hopefully you're growing and not drifting backwards, I'm growing forward each day as I spend time with God, that I realize God allowed that thing to happen to me possibly so that I could be used to preserve life. Now, let's continue. As we've studied this month, we've seen that God will use certain people, but God has a great desire to preserve life. We know in 2 Peter, he talks about this and he says this phenomenal verse, 2 Peter 3:9. He says what? The Lord is not willing. His will is not, you could rephrase it that way, that any should what? Perish. But that all, A-L-L, should come to repentance. See, that's the heart of God. For people to assume or believe that God's up there with a long white beard in a rocking chair with a stick in his hand and casting down lightning bolts upon people and waiting to just judge people all the time and hurt people and make their life miserable because they didn't follow. That's not God. You don't know the Bible. The Bible reveals to us a God who is a loving, kind, merciful God. You're still breathing today. That's God's mercy. If you're not saved today, that's God's mercy. He still is giving you another chance and another chance. Now think about this. He says now, I've given you an opportunity to choose life. Choose life. If you will, go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Let's go over there. Deuteronomy chapter 30. This is where we get this very famous quote from. He says, I want you to choose life. Deuteronomy 30 verse 19. Verse 19. Now if you know your Bibles, remember this is the part Moses is stepping off of the scene. He's about to die, remember. And he's handing the reins over. He's giving the baton over to Joshua. And he's going to tell Joshua, okay, now go forward. You're going to conquer the land. You're going to cross over the river. You're going to take care of business and get all the real estate that we need. But notice what he says in verse 19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. Here's a record, he says, that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, and underline this, choose life. That both thou, and here it is, thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life. He's thy life. And the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, to give them. Isn't that fascinating? He says, listen, choose life. As we're emphasizing the sanctity of life month, we're saying basically, choose life. Choose life. We're asking these young mothers, choose life. Choose life to live. Now, how do we apply it a little bit closer to home for us? Well, we choose life. And Moses says, listen, I call record today before heaven and earth. I'm putting before you, I want to record this, that I am making an emphasis to you to choose life. If you choose to disobey, there will be curse on you. You choose to obey, there's a blessing. See, God isn't complicated, is he? Very, very easy to understand. People like to complicate things. We're going through in our Bible Institute right now how people, some people, they'll take Bible verses and they'll twist them and they'll do it to fit their own ideology or what we call their theology, right? And they make it complicated. You ever work for somebody that makes things overly complicated? You didn't have to make it that complicated. You think through, you ever work alongside somebody. We can make things so complicated and God says, listen, I'm just going to lay it out for you. Here's two choices on the shelf. Pleasing God or pleasing self. That's all it is. Every day of our lives is two choices. That's all it is. Am I going to please God or am I going to please self? And a lot of times in my life, I fall over to this side. I'll go ahead and please myself. So thinking through, he says, choose life. Now, number one, let me say this. The choice is personal. The choice is personal. He goes on in Deuteronomy chapter 7. Chapter 7, he says, I didn't choose you as a nation, because you were a mighty nation, I chose you. Why? In fact, you're the least of all nations. Your tribe that you have, very small tribe, compared to the religions or the groups around you. Again, let me say this. God does his best work with smaller groups. God does his best work with the people that you would see as maybe not maybe the strongest. Remember what he says to the church at Corinth? He says, God chooses the weak things of the world to confound the mighty or the strong. God chooses the low things to confound the big. I've said this before, and this ought to give you great encouragement. God does his best work with somebody like you. God does his best work with someone like me. God does his best work with a smaller church like this, right? And that's what we see. That's the way God operates. That's the way God works. Now, thinking through, the choice is personal. My friends, can you understand this today? And I want to encourage you with it. Make the choice. Make the choice. The reason you're not growing spiritually is not your spouse's fault, is not your whoever's fault. It's your fault. The reason you're struggling in this relationship is your fault. The problem we have in America today is we always pass the buck, don't we? Oh, yeah, they need that. Yeah, they need that. They need to hear that. Well, what about you? We don't take personal responsibility. The problem comes back to right here. Drop the pin right here. Doop. That's where it is. That's the problem. The choice is mine. I have the ability to choose right from wrong, good from evil, applying this with the sanctity of life. They have the choice. They can choose the right way or the wrong way. And what we're doing is trying to get the Word of God into the hands of these young mothers and these young fathers and letting them know, listen, there is another option. There's another way. There's another way that you can go and the choice you can make. It's a personal choice. I say this many times, but there are many people throughout Scripture that should have been aborted. Their lives should have ended. They were of no value to the parents. In fact, they were a headache and a problem to the parents. Now, think about some of these people. The first one I thought of was Joseph, the one we just read. Joseph was a beloved son. You know this. He was the favorite son of Jacob. But he was an annoyance to his brothers, wasn't he? To put it lightly. If the one person they would have chosen to have aborted, if they had any say in it, would have been Joseph, wouldn't it? Of no use. Dad, we already have all these boys. Why have another? Dad, we've already got, why? He's annoying. He's always talking about how he has these dreams. He's always talking about all these things. Another person I thought about in Scripture would be David. As we said last week, David was the, if you want to say it, kind of the runt of the family. In fact, so much so that when Samuel came and he said, bring your sons before me that I may see which one God has chosen to be king, he didn't even call David. What a slap in the face that was. Dad didn't even see David as a son. He was an oops with someone who wasn't even his wife. He went and had an adulterous relationship with a lady. And he was an oops. Now, he should have been aborted. Why would you have David? All he's going to do is cause you trouble and problems. I'm saying today, I believe we have aborted some people that probably had the cure to some incurable diseases. I believe we've aborted some ladies that probably had the whatever it is to some of life's greatest problems. There's a lot that we don't know. Now, we know this to be true, and I must emphasize this again because somebody asked me this. These babies that are taken from us, they are in the presence of the Lord as we speak. We know that, okay? Their souls are there with the Lord. We understand that. Now, thinking through this, the choice is personal. These are individuals just throughout Scripture that we find should have been aborted. Many times throughout Scripture, we find it. There's a wonderful lady by the name of Fanny Crosby. You've heard of her, maybe. She wrote many hymns, many hymns. Not only did she write a lot of hymns, she wrote a lot of poems and other things like that. If you ever get a hold of some of her material, you ought to read it. It's fascinating what she writes. But you know the story, I'm sure. She was born blind. Had a lot of physical problems. And in fact, so much the so that she was actually told on several occasions that it would be better if you were not born. Why would your mother have you? One person posed this question to her and said this, how can a loving God that you serve and love so much, why and how could he allow you to be born blind? Isn't that a cruel God? Why would you serve a God like that? That's no God. He's cruel. She said, well, I don't see it that way. Pardon the pun. She says this, I see it this way. God allowed me to be born blind because the very first face I'll ever see is Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? The first face I'll ever get to see is Jesus. Now that takes some faith. This is what we're saying today. The choice is personal. Can I ask you this morning, where is your attitude? Where's your spirit? Where's your heart? Where is your drive coming from? The choice is personal. Make the choice today. I love to share the gospel with people that'll listen. Not everyone listens, but I love to. And one of the things is I try to emphasize is this point, sir or ma'am, the choice is yours. You make the choice. Here it is. You are a sinner. All of us are. Everyone's been born a sinner. That's within us. We inherited that sin from our father, Adam. Romans 5:12 talks about this. Wherefore by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin. And then he goes on in that wonderful chapter of Romans 5 to talk about how that then we have life in Jesus Christ. Can I say secondly, those, I must hasten here. The challenge that we must put forth before. If you're still in Deuteronomy, would you go back to Deuteronomy 6? Let's go back there. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Again, another very familiar portion of Scripture, I hope, to you. But not only is the choice personal, both to us today and to what we're talking about in the sanctity of life, but the challenge that's presented to us. Oh, let me jump down. Hold on. Let me see here. I was going to read all of it, but I better not. Let's go to verse 7, if you don't mind. Verse 7, notice what it says, Deuteronomy 6, verse 7, "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto" who? "Thy children. And shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house." Okay, that's leisure time. "When thou walkest by the way," when you're moving about. "When thou liest down, when thou risest up. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand. They shall be as frontlets between thy eyes." The challenge presented to these people, again, Moses is speaking to the people. He says, "I want to challenge you to teach these to your children." He's talking about the next generations, right? Again, where we're at today in America is a direct reflection back to us failing to do this. The generations today don't follow. The generations today know very little Bible, very little. We live in a biblically illiterate society. If you don't know that, just go try and share the gospel or preach the word to somebody, and they'll look at you like you just came out of a spaceship. What are you talking about? They don't know what it is. Biblically illiterate and unchurched. And now think through this. The challenge that's presented to us is that we would teach those behind us. And I want to ask you again today. I know I sound like a broken record sometimes, but are you teaching them, notice the wording, diligently to the children? Sad to say, my kids know a lot about the iPad. They know how to, no joke. My 9-year-old, I had a problem with my phone, and I said, "Honey, yeah, can you fix it? can you fix my phone? I don't know what it's doing." And she's looking at it. Isn't that true? They know a lot about some social things, some media things and aspects that maybe they shouldn't in a lot of ways. Coming back to this part of, they don't know the Bible maybe as they should. Not teaching them diligently to the children. Not talking about them. What's he talking about? The words. These words, verse 6, "that I command thee." These words. Now, we're going to look at this on Wednesday night as well. If he commands us to study these words and pass the words on to the next generation, we must have a word that's preserved for us in 2024, don't we? We must have a word that's inspired. Now, don't fall asleep yet. I'm almost done. We must have the words that are inspired, right? Given to us by God. We have to have a Bible that's legitimate. And I said this on Wednesday, but I believe it to be true, whatever you believe about this book. But this book that was given to us, thousands of years old, it was relevant for great, 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 great granddaddy, and it's relevant for me in 2024. That's not human work. That's not written by man. It don't make sense. The second book on the list of most sold, most influenced, most popular books is the works of Shakespeare. Here's the Bible. If you look at it on a chart, and I'm hoping to bring a chart on in the coming weeks. Here's the Bible up here on the chart. Shakespeare's not here. Shakespeare's down here. The most sold, relevant, most read book in human history. That's not human work. And Moses said, "Listen, here's the Bible. Here's the words God gave to me, and I'm going to give them to you, and I want you to teach them diligently." The challenge comes to us to know the Bible and then impart the Bible to the people around us. And I'm so thankful as we come back to this sanctity of life aspect that there's people out there like this CareNet, like other organizations like that, that focus in on a Christ-centered work. And they say to these young people, "There's another way." "Well, what way is that, sir?" "Let me show you from the Bible. Let me show you what God's word says. Listen, my words fall to the ground. My words don't matter a hill of beans. Trust me." People say, "Well, Brother Tim, can I pick your brain for a minute?" I say, "There's not much up there to pick." "Do you have any words of wisdom?" So one older lady asked me one time, "Do you have any words of wisdom for us today, sir?" I said, "No, I don't." "Nothing's up there. Let me tell you what the Bible says. I can point you to the book." And here's the old adage that we love to recite. Listen, I didn't write it. I just recite it. That's all I do. I'm just a broken record. And God wants to use us in that way. Teach them diligently unto those behind you. There's the challenge to all of us. Let me say thirdly, there's then the aspect of we ought to not only choose, there's the challenge, but we ought to champion the truth. Champion the truth. 2 Timothy, Paul tells Timothy. There, by the way, there's another man. You ever studied the life of Timothy? He should have been aborted. Here's a young man that was born. A mother was a Jew. Father was a Greek. In those times, 2,000 years ago, you didn't crossbreed. They hated the Samaritans so much because they were a crossbreed, if you will, of these people. In that region, two cross the Jews and the Greeks, opposing sides, hated each other. His father was a Greek, mother was a Jew, and he was born. As far as we know, he was probably maybe his only child, and he should have been aborted. He was a wasted life. No, who was he? He's spoken of in 2 Timothy chapter 1, and he says, the unfeigned faith that's in thee, that dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, I see it in you. And then he says this in chapter 2, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. What's he say next? And those things. The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. He says, Timothy, you know the faith that was in your grandmother and your mother, and I see the faith that's in you, unfeigned faith. That means not fake. It's real. It's authentic. It's legit faith. He says, because of that, I want you to teach others also. You and I ought to champion the truth. We ought to herald out the truth. We have far too many chameleons today instead of champions. They're just any situation they get in, they change color, don't they? I just want to fit in here and make sure nobody doesn't. Make sure. Champion the truth. We herald out the truth. We preach the truth. Again, I encourage you with this. You ought to be a part of a Bible preaching, Bible speaking, Bible memorizing, Bible emphasizing church. We got people that show up to church for 45 minutes on Sunday morning and think they did God a favor. Well, check. They get home. Check, 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 check. Friends, we're not doing God a favor. The very least you should be doing is showing up to church. The very least you should be doing is spending time in the Bible. Oh, I'm preaching to myself, by the way. The very least you should be doing is spending time in prayer on a daily basis. You're hoping and dreaming that your children will get saved. You're hoping and dreaming. Don't hope and dream. Pray about it. See, prayer is the power. That's where the power is. You're praying to Almighty God. And Almighty God has promised to hear your prayers. Joshua chapter 24, Joshua speaks to the people, as you recall, and I'll wrap it up here. But he says what? I want you to choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers, which were on the other side of the flood, the gods in whom land ye dwell now, or you want to serve God Almighty. And then he makes a wonderful, wonderful statement. What's he say? As for me in my house. Joshua just went ahead and stood up and said, I'll speak for my family. And in that text, you don't find the wife and kids speaking up and say, oh, he doesn't speak for us. Hey, you don't speak for us, Joshua. Doesn't say that, does it? Why? Because Joshua was a real man of God. Joshua led his family like he was supposed to lead his family. And they respected Joshua. And when he stood up in front of the people and said, thus saith the Lord God, and this is what we're going to do, and this is how we're going to follow God, and this is what we're going to do for God, they all stood back and said, yep, amen. Daddy's character is true. What he says matches how he lives. Isn't that true? We ought to champion the truth. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. You'll give an account one day for your house. I'll give an account one day not only for my house, but for this house, this church. Championing the truth. And I can say unequivocally today, as for me and this church, we will serve the Lord. In this year of being unashamed, we're going to stand for Christ. Unashamed. We're not wishy-washy Christians. We don't go to Walmart and blend in. We try to stand out. We're not ashamed. Some of you came out and helped us last week. Pass these out. It's foreign to people. You actually go out and pass your gospel tracts out to people? That's weird. We go, yeah, we know it is. We're weird people. Are you a cult? I had one guy say, are you a cult out there? I said, yes, sir. I'm the leader. And then I laughed and he didn't think it was funny. So he probably won't be joining us. But I love to irritate people. They ask stupid questions, right? You pass those out. Why? We're unashamed. Amen. Let me tell you what this is. What's this about? I always say, which gives a little information on our church. If you open it up right there, it gives a little information about it. And I say, if you flip it over on the back, it tells you how you can get to heaven when you die. And they always look at me like, what? I've never heard that before. I asked one fellow, I said, have you ever thought about it? He said, and he was old. He said, I really not thought about that. I said, well, it might be a good time to start thinking about it. Might be a good time. We're unashamed. People talk about us, criticize us. They're going to criticize your family. They're going to make fun of you. They're going to cast you out at work. They're going to think you're a fuddy-duddy. They're going to think you're one of those sticks in the mud. Sure, go ahead, whatever you want to say. I want to say something today. We're unashamed of the gospel, and we're unashamed, and I will get in line with Joshua. I'll get in line with Joseph. I'll get in line with Esther. I'll get in line with Ruth. I'll get in line with David and say, hey, I'm unashamed of the gospel. I won't sit back and let this country go in the hellhole that it's going in. I won't stand back and let these young mothers abort these precious innocent babies. I'll do all I can, and I know you will as well. You'll help me. You'll stand with me. Amen? I know you will. I think about today. It's time for us to stand up. Now, I don't know if God's coming back this year. I don't know. I believe Jesus is coming back soon. I don't know what you believe about the end times, but I encourage you to get in the book and figure it out quick. I'd encourage you to get in the book and figure out what the Bible says about salvation. There's some of you in here today that are still not saved. You need to get saved. Today's the day. They asked Paul at the church at Corinth, a corrupt church. Boy, they were messed up. Paul, when should we get saved? And he emphatically turned around very quickly and said, right now. Today's the day of salvation. You ready? Are you ready? When should I do this? When should I get right? When should we pull it together, Brother Tim? We just can't seem to get out of this cycle. You've been in the cycle before? In that wash cycle? I can't get out of it, man. I can't get out. We just seem to go over and round, same issues, same problems, same thing. She brings up the same junk every day. He brings up the same nonsense. It's just this constant cycle you can get in. How about today? It's easier said than done. What I'm saying is we champion life. We champion the truth, but you can't champion the truth if you're a failure. You can't be a champion if you're a loser. You can't be a champion if you're not preparing for the race. You must take time and prepare every day to be a champion. The Olympics are coming up in the summer. Do you know what they've been doing for the last 4 years? Sitting around, eating In-N-Out, Lotaburger? No. I heard we're getting an In-N-Out. I don't know if we are. They're sitting, no, what are they doing? They've been training. And they've been on the worst diet you can imagine. And they've been suffering, haven't they? Oh, they hate what they eat. They hate what they have to go. They get up at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. They go run and they go do their exercises and they go do all those things that they hate. Why? Because summer's coming in Paris and they'll stand on the world stage in Paris and they don't want to look like a fool. And out of the gate, they come, the gun goes off and they come out of the gate and they pull a hamstring. Oh, ruined. They're training. They're stretching those ligaments. They're pushing their bodies to the extremes so they can be a champion. I want to say today we can champion the truth. We've got to work daily in exercising our spiritual muscles. Are you exercising your spiritual muscles? I want to thank you again for being here with me this morning. As we look this month at the sanctity of life, all of you I know stand with me. We can do our best. If you know somebody that's going through a situation right now, a young mother particularly, that's not sure what to do with this baby, I want to encourage you to point her in the right direction. I want to encourage you to give her the opportunity to say, listen, the choice is yours. The challenge of the Word of God, and then help her to champion the truth. All things done for His glory. Everything God does in our lives, I say this before, everything He allows into your life or He does, anything He permits or ordains is for His glory and for my good. Everything. And I'm so glad that many years ago, I won't tell you how many years ago, but my mother chose life. I'm sure you are as well. You're glad that your mother chose life. Chose life. Some of you have come from a long line of champions for the faith. Champions of the truth. My friends, today we will stand in our church and in our homes unequivocally for the Word of God. For that which is right, for that which is true, for that which ultimately pleases the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? All right. Well, I hope you have a wonderful week this week. Lord will bless you. Stay in your Bibles. I want to encourage you to do that. I know it's hard. I know it gets very monotonous sometimes. Stay in your Bible. Get you some little memory cards. Write out or type out some memory verses on some cards and keep them in your pocket. Memorize Scripture. Stay in your prayer closet. Keep praying. Keep seeking God. He'll bless you. All right. Would you stand with me if you're able to this morning? And again, we're going to have just a few verses of invitation.